2024 is the year of podcasts, and we want to let you know about a brand new show that is live right now. Join with me to share the good news about the Worthy of Everything podcast. It's just one of the two hosts, Jedra Lasso. Jedra, you've been working on this podcast in the background. Our team has been very excited as we've been preparing for its launch. How does it feel to know that the episodes finally are out there and we're moving forward every single week?
It is so exciting, and I am just excited to see where God takes it. And I have so much hope that it is going to be an incredible blessing to the listeners.
Amen, amen. But as I understand it, this is a show tackling the issues of mental health through the lens of the gospel. Can you share just a little bit more about the heart and the intent and who you're really trying to serve through the Worthy of Everything podcast?
So I personally was freed from depression, and as I've come to understand my freedom from sin and identity in Christ, I start to recognize all these amazing gifts that God has given us. So yeah, just exploring and hearing awesome testimonies about how to walk out true intimacy with a loving father who pursues his kids.
Oh man, sounds like a good time. If you want to check out the show, lovereality.org/podcasts and look for the Worthy of Everything show.
Death to Life is brought to you by Love Reality, a good gospel ministry. Our mission is to tell everyone willing to listen that in Christ, by faith, they are free from sin. Everything that we make is made possible because of the generosity of people like you. Thank you.
The world doesn't think that the gospel can change your life, but we know that it can. And that's why we want you to hear these stories, stories of transformation, stories of freedom, people getting free from sin and healed from sin because of Jesus. This is Death to Life.
My anxiety just blew up, and I was still just scared of leaving the house. I was getting sick a lot, and I finally had to ask for medical leave. So I went to my study Bible, and I read Romans 6, and I'm crying. And I'm like, how is this possible? This has been in my Bible this whole time. So that's all she told me. That's all she told me, and she prayed over me, and she said, if you need anything, I'm here for you. You are free. And I believed it.
Yo, welcome to the Death to Life podcast. My name is Richard Young, and today's episode is with my sister Lillian. And this is a story about anxiety, a story of panic, and how God has set her free from that. And so we won't step on it anymore. Buckle up, strap in. Love y'all. Appreciate y'all. Here's Lillian Loza. How familiar are you with the Death to Life podcast?
Pretty familiar. I've listened to a lot of them. I binge listened.
What episode sticks out in your mind as, oh man, that Eddie and Jayla's, is that the first one you listened to?
Those were the first ones. And then Will's story.
Will Murphy.
You don't tell me what kind of stood out except that he was a good guy. You know what I'm saying? And that stuck out to me because I've always been a good girl. And I was like, oh, and then the whole thing of everyone saying I'm free. And I'm like, what is this that everyone is saying that they're free? What are they free from? So it was very intriguing to me.
So how did you hear how did you hear the first one? Is this later on in this? Is this a part of your story?
I started listening to this because of Eddie's story, because I went to school with Eddie and Jayla. And so I listened to that podcast of his story. And then was it the week after that was Jayla's? Or was it a couple of weeks?
No, okay. It was the week after.
Yeah, and that one surprised me even more.
That's what everybody says.
Yeah.
That's how we get you. So let me ask you this. Where'd you grow up?
In Jersey. So I was born in El Salvador, but at the age of 5, I went to Jersey, and that's where I grew up. Jersey City. I'm a city girl.
Jersey City, that sounds like not a like a safe place. Is that not a...
It's not at all. No, but man, now that I look back, we were protected.
You can see the World Trade Center from Jersey City, right?
Oh, yeah.
Man.
Yep, Liberty State Park. It's right there.
Yeah, what was that like?
That's all I knew. It was fine. I was a city girl. When I came to Southern, I had a really heavy Jersey accent. I've lost it now, but
what did that sound like?
I don't know. Give me an example. I can't. It's just how I talked.
Say water.
Oh, I don't even remember that. That was a long time ago.
So you went right from New Jersey to Southern then? Like you went, where'd you go to high school? Did you go to public school out there?
Yeah. So I went to a small Adventist school in Waldwick, New Jersey. Uh-huh. And I went there my freshman and sophomore year of high school. And that's where I tasted my first shot of anything. Isn't that bizarre? I went to public school all my life, except for that. It's terrible that I have that memory. But
you went to public school your whole life until high school. Then you went to two years of academy where you started getting drunk every
night. No. Just playing. No, that's not part of my story.
Okay, let's go back a little further. Where do you feel like your spiritual life story starts? Like, with spiritual things?
I got baptized at the age of 9. So I was 9 years old in Adventures, and that's where I made a choice for Jesus, right? But the God that I knew then was, I was just doing all these things to get his acceptance. So it was different. But that's how it was for me growing up.
How did you get God's acceptance? What do you have to do?
You know, my mom always encouraged me to sing up front. And I took piano lessons for a couple years too. So it was about using my talents for the Lord. And so my mom always highly encouraged me to do that. But I was so shy. And so it was really hard for me to go up front, but I had a really good friend that also sang with me. And so we both would just sing sometimes. And so I was always waiting for that praise from her. And then I was like, okay, so I'm good with God. God must be happy with me when I sing up front. And then as I became a teenager, I started leading out like in AY, like programs and things like that. I never really preached, but more organizing and singing. That was a lot of what I did. But I never really studied the Bible that I can remember.
How did you feel about yourself? Like,
I was just a regular girl. I don't know.
No, you're just like pretty secure in who you were?
Yeah. Grew up with my mom and dad, so I was confident, very quiet. Never did I see myself as a leader, by all means. But I was a good girl. I liked to follow the rules. And so I loved going to church and listening to the stories like you're saying and all of that. So yeah, it was a good childhood.
Awesome. We hear a lot about the bad childhoods and that doesn't help. But it's also, the enemy doesn't need much help, does he? Your parents can be amazing parents. And we've had people on here who have tough childhoods, and then we have amazing parents, and the enemy doesn't care. He's just going to lie and eventually through the world or through whatever. So you're going to public school, living in Jersey City.
Yeah, it was a day school. And so it wasn't like overnight or anything, but it was good. I had just gotten contacts. So I was super, super nerdy with the big old glasses. That was the thing back in the 90s. So going to high school, that was the first time I got rid of my glasses. And so I started getting noticed by boys. And so then that was like my new thing.
I want to attract the boys.
That was never a thing before. Right. And so, yeah, that was the thing. That's when I had more crushes and things like that.
All right. How'd that go? Was that fun?
It was fun for me, yes, but I was obviously a very conservative household, and so I wasn't allowed to do anything or talk to anyone, and we didn't have cell phones back then, you know, how that was. So it was fun to get attention from boys, and I would get into a lot of trouble for kissing them.
How did anyone find out? You would tell your mom?
Oh, you don't even know, Richard. I remember one camping trip, like Hispanic camp meeting type of thing, because of a shadow. My mother saw me kissing a boy, a shadow. She was always like, I pray so much for you. God's always going to tell me when you're doing things. You know what I'm saying? Seriously. And it was bad. I would kiss boys at church and they didn't even have to be my boyfriend. So while a little bit ago you asked me how I felt about myself, I was a very confident girl, but I was seeking something clearly, right?
How do Hispanic mothers know? Like, the first time I kissed somebody, my mom was like, She just knew automatically. And she got me in trouble. She's like, I'm really? Like, how did you know? Because I know everything. I'm like, ugh.
Yes. It's true. I mean, it probably saved me from a lot of things. But anyway, that was the fun thing to do in high school. And then because that school didn't go, only went till 10th grade, then I had to go to a public school. And it was a big high school, Dickinson High School. It was huge and a lot of bad things happened there. And so they were very scared. I had to take the bus. That's how it is. It's city life. So I went to that high school, but I would eat lunch all by myself. I was so quiet. Everyone had their friends already. But then these girls that I went to grammar school with, they remembered me and they adopted me. They just took, they were popular girls. They were nice and they were good girls. They were cool, but they weren't into drugs or any of that stuff, which is what my parents were so afraid of.
Were you ever tempted with drugs?
No, never.
Just partying a little bit, like maybe drinking, but not drugs?
I tasted that one thing and it was disgusting. So not really. All I was interested, I wanted to go out on dates with boys. That's what I wanted. I was searching for that love, for the romance. But I wasn't allowed to go on dates. So I had to, I finally got a job probably my junior year. And I would have to lie that I was working or things like that to go on a date in Hoboken. Have you ever been to Hoboken? It's a small town in Jersey.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, it has a good view of the city too. So that's where I worked. And so I had to do a lot of lying to do the, that's all I was seeking though.
Did your mom find out that time?
Not all the times. Just sometimes. But now as an adult. I'll tell her. I've told her already.
Hey, Mom, remember when I told you I was going to go to work? I went out on a date.
Yeah.
I didn't like him, though. So then,
high school.
When you're getting out of high school, what was the plan?
So we went to a bunch of colleges and went to AUC, CUC. They wanted me to go to an Adventist school. I'm pretty sure I also applied to Rutgers, though, which is the local one there. So that was my backup plan, but I didn't want to stay in Jersey. I knew that. I hated the busyness of city life. I didn't want to live at my parents' house anymore. It was too conservative. I just wanted out. I was fed up because the little bit I did want to do with the youth at church, I wasn't even allowed to do that. I wanted to go bowling. Bowling was a thing when I was a teenager, and I wasn't even allowed to do that because bad things happen at bowling alleys. And so,
absolutely, they do.
So anyway, I just wanted to leave home. So I applied. I think I was going to go to CUC. And then in July, because Southern does this thing where if you come
smart
visit,
start.
they give you a hotel for free. And we had friends that had moved to Tennessee. So we're like, oh, let's get a free hotel, do the tour of the school, and we'll go visit. It's fine. So we came in July and we ended up loving it. I came with my best friend and my parents and we loved Southern. And
Southern
so
is a school in Tennessee, right? Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Yep. Collegedale, Tennessee. And I was a late applicant and I was like, oh, it's even further away from home. Sure. I'll take it.
Were your parents pumped about that?
It was the most conservative. So they were pumped about that part. I don't know if you ever visited CUC. You're from the West, right?
Oh, I've been everywhere. When I was a recruiter, I'd go to.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah, and CUC is right in down, like in Tacoma Park, like in the city. They might have been more nervous about that than Southern off in the country.
Maybe. That would have been bad for me too. Because what I was seeking, college life, I wanted the party life. Now that I really did. I wanted
what does
to
that
go
mean?
Drink and party.
You did want to drink and party?
I did. I had never done it, but that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to rebel. That was my plan. Yeah, that didn't really happen.
Why didn't it happen?
I came to Southern and I met Jose like the first day of school, probably at the cafeteria.
The first day of school?
I'm pretty sure. My parents were still here. He came up and introduced, because he's from Jersey too, so he's just chatting them up. And I'm like, oh, this guy's friendly, but I didn't want a boyfriend. So we were friends for a while. No, he was transfer.
Okay.
He transferred in from, yeah. But he had already done the party thing. And so he was coming to Southern to start over. And I wanted to do the party thing. And I don't know. I think God put him in my path because we didn't really do any of the partying. We went to the movies. We went bowling. We just normal college things. And then I did get into drinking a little bit, but it wasn't too bad.
Was it all that it was cracked up to be?
No, I didn't feel good. No.
No. Didn't live up to the hype.
But I was curious, though. I was so curious. And I tried it. And so, yeah, that was college. And it was fun. I did my little bit of partying, and I got a little bit of that out of my system. But almost safely, because, I don't know, it was always with Jose. So it wasn't like I was out there solo. How, I don't know, God protected me from when I look back, because that was not my plan.
So as you're becoming your own, you're an adult, you're your own person. Who's God at this point in your life?
When I came to Southern, it was the same. I hear so many stories of people and all the Bible studies that they went to at Southern and stuff. I don't think I ever did that. And that's really sad to say, but that's not what I was looking for. And so the Vespers were great. I enjoyed a big community of young people, the music. My eyes were open to so much beautiful music that I was never exposed to before. So I love the worship part of it. I did like that.
So you had met all of these people. You really liked the environment. You liked the singing. What was the plan for your life? How soon were you like, me and Jose are going to get married?
We dated 4.5 years before he popped the question. So
4.5 years?
A little longer. Yes. All through college for me, basically. And there was a breakup in there somewhere because I was like, okay, this has been a long time. If you're not ready for this, then that's it. So I didn't do an ultimatum. That's not what it was. But then we got back together and a month later he proposed. He just had to make up his mind, maybe. I don't know. That's a different story. But God was just a guy that loved me, but I didn't really have a relationship with him.
Right.
Not yet.
So you get out of college. How soon are you getting married? What's the plan?
Yeah, I got married. I graduated in 05 and we got married in 07. It was pretty quickly. But man, I was not prepared with all the debt that I took on to go to Southern. So once we were in the real world, and of course, because I decided to stay here, I got a job at Southern. I've been working at Southern since 06, and I've been there for a really long time, and I love working for them. But it was hard to pay the bills. Jose took a little longer to finish school, and so he was still in school, and things were tight. And that's when I got my first panic attack. We had been married maybe a year. And I don't know if you've ever experienced a panic attack, but I felt like I was having a heart attack. I was going back to work. I was at lunch. I have always lived very close to Southern, so I always just would go home for lunch. And I was on my way back, and I just felt heart palpitations, and I got really sweaty. So I get to work, and you know how it is working for an Adventist place. I was really good friends with a lot of people. So I'm like, I think we have to call 911. Am I having a heart attack? And two of us were psych majors. So she was like, I think you're having a panic attack. And I'm like, what about what? I wasn't worried.
What had you been thinking about right before then? Or what was going on that day? Do you remember?
I don't remember, but it was financial. I'm pretty sure it was. So at that time, it was summer, and we were working in the dorms because they were renovating our offices. Mm-hmm. And so there were mattresses. And so she had me lay down on a mattress for a little bit, and then she sent me home. And that's when I cracked open my Bible for the first time. I had a really nice view in my apartment, and it was right next to the railroad tracks, is the only bad thing, but it was a beautiful view. And that's the first time I opened my Bible, and I was just clamoring to God, what is this that I'm feeling? What is going on? Help me. I was asking him for help. That's the first time I think I had prayed before. I always prayed for my food, those sort of things, but not, this felt different. So I started doing that a little bit more often, like as far as sitting outside. I really enjoyed sitting outside and reading and trying, but I never really got a response back. Not at least that I remember at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I think during this season of my life, we were having a lot of house parties. So we were the married couple, and I think we had a lot of other married couples. So we would have a lot of parties at the house. We've always been good hosts.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in and out of church. I would go to church, but Friday nights I was doing something different. It was that life. And so I was really trying to get this response. I've always loved testimonies, which is, I think, why I'm drawn to these podcasts. But I never thought I would have a testimony of my own because I didn't do drugs. I wasn't that far gone. You know what I'm saying? I was like, mm-hmm. I'm never going to have a testimony. But I was clamoring, Lord, what is it? Nothing really changed that I can remember. But then we had Julian. I got pregnant in 2010 with Julian, mm-hmm. my oldest. Having kids really changes you. And we started wanting to go to church more because we would have missed some Sabbaths. And so we started going to church more and we were church hopping. There's a lot of churches here in Chattanooga.
Mm-hmm.
And we found a small church called Impact. And we knew a few people, but we were drawn to this really small community because they always missed us when we didn't go. And they would text us and, hey, where have you guys been? Come back, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, man, this is nice. I wanted Julian to have all the Bible stories, all that positive stuff I had in my upbringing. I wanted my son to have that. So we started going to church a little more religiously.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got pregnant with Bella. They're about 22 months apart. So 2 years later, we got pregnant with Bella. I don't remember having a lot of panic attacks. It was just that one isolated incident.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's it. We had Bella. That was a really hard pregnancy for me. I was sick a lot. I think I gained 11 pounds in that pregnancy.
Is that a lot? I don't know.
No, that's not. I think healthy is like 25 plus, but I only gained 11. I was a little overweight before my pregnancy with her, but
had just had a baby before that, not too long before that.
But I couldn't keep anything down. It was a hard pregnancy on me. But then we had our baby girl, and I'm still working at Southern. And then when I come back to work after my maternity leave, they offer me a promotion.
Hmm.
And so I work in the financial aid office, and that surprised me because I never saw myself as a leader. But at work, I had already been moving into things. I'm a really hard worker. And so I became the associate director. So I'm the right-hand man to my boss. And so I had this opportunity of growth at work because I really wanted to stay home. After Julian, I was like, oh, how can we make this work? But I have a good job and mm-hmm. I'm a woman. I work and I should be climbing the ladder. Like all these things that people were telling me that I should do. And so, but I was happy. I got this promotion. I was super happy. Went back to work. I got my master's.
Was life going the way you wanted it with all the kids and the way you were progressing and going up the ladder? Is that what you wanted? What was the goal in your mind?
No, I think I always wanted to make my parents proud. And that's something that I could do is moving up the ladder, was getting my degree, all these things. And so because it was making people happy, I was doing it. And I think I was happy in part because I was successful,
mm-hmm.
but I wasn't at peace. And you know how it is having really young kids. So that was just a very exhausting part of my life, having those young kids, working hard. Leadership is different, like managing a group of people. And I was just being stretched in a lot of different ways. During that time of my life, because we were still at church, I lost a lot of friendships through different reasons. I think changing interests and stuff like that. And I went through a really lonely time in my life where I felt like I didn't have friends. And so it made me see God more.
Isn't that funny? Like when you're in college, your freshman year, you meet somebody in College Writing One and you're just like, we're going to be friends forever. And you think you're going to have all these friends. And then you graduate, you get older, you get married, and you're like, you're blessed if you have two friends. Like, so you were getting lonely. And so that led to more searching.
Yeah. And I was still going to this church Impact, and I got asked to be an elder. And I had never considered that before. And I'm like, oh, I'm not ready. I'm still having a cup of wine here and there. But don't, I can't do that. I'm not ready. And this person, an elder at the church, he was like, you're ready now. I was like, I need to pray about this. And I was like, I wear jewelry. That was a big thing too, right? I was like, I wear jewelry. I feel like I need to leave all these things before I, you know. And finally, I prayed about it and I accepted to be elder. And so I was like, what does this mean? I had so many questions, but it was just something I was doing for God. Because if God put someone in my path to ask me to do something for him, there wasn't a really big reason for me to say no. So I said yes to being an elder, which was a good thing. I started feeling promptings of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. There was a time where I was physically not feeling well. Stomach issues after my pregnancy with Bella, it changed GI stuff for me. And sorry, this is TMI, but I was having really bad periods. And so obviously I was taking care of all that. Anyway, that led me to have a hysterectomy. So I thought it was all physical things, but I think a lot of the emotional things that I was dealing with, I think I had been anxious for years. But I did end up having a hysterectomy in 2019.
Like because of the anxiety that led to your body kind of manifesting this stuff.
I think so. A lot of the GI stuff for sure. Because during my pregnancy with Bella, when I was 8 months pregnant, Jose got fired from his job. And we had two young kids. We had to just kind of switch. I don't know. Anyway, that was a lot of things happened there with Jose's shift in work and responsibilities. And I was 8 months. I'm a go-getter and we just keep going forward. So we would handle that between me and Jose. We wouldn't involve family or anything like that. Anyway, yeah, I think a lot of the anxiety has been what's affected my stomach. I'm off of gluten and soy and dairy now.
Oh, that's right. We talked about this. Because of the pupusas, we're like, you got to take that pill.
Yes. But anyway, the hysterectomy is a side thing. But when you don't feel well, it's terrible. And right. So I was, again, like just clamoring to God. I was like, Lord, what is happening? What is this? Period shouldn't be this bad. But it ended up being a bunch of stuff and they just had to get it out. And we were done with kids anyway, so it was fine. So yeah, when I was healing from my surgery, I had felt the Holy Spirit, heard whatever that is. Once it was, I was at a club and I felt the Holy Spirit telling me to get out. And I know my mama prays for me, but I remember feeling a really strong feeling. And I think we even left early. I couldn't handle it. Anyway, I'm not a preacher, but when I was healing from my surgery, I felt the Holy Spirit telling me that I needed to share my story up until that point. So since I was just sitting on a bed for 6 to 8 weeks, I think, I started writing something. So after that was the first time that I preached. And then we're leading to 2020. 2020, when everything happened, was so relieved that we were stuck at home because Saturdays had gotten so busy for me. Again, I think I was head elder during that time. And I was just relieved to not go to church, to not have so many meetings.
Now you're the head elder?
Yeah.
How would your mom and dad feel about that?
Oh, they were very proud of me.
That's what's up.
Anyway.
2020, the worldwide pandemic. Yes. Y'all remember the worldwide pandemic?
Who doesn't? I was so happy to be home. And because I was exhausted and overwhelmed. And that is when I truly got to know my children. And I seriously, that's so sad to say, but I think that's because I had so much time. I was like, this is great. Jose had been the one to raise our kids when they were really little. Mm-hmm. And so now that we were home and I was helping them, it was great.
You're like, they're nice. I like them.
So we finished.
Nice.
So nice. So that was in March, right? So the next school year, we decided to homeschool. Uh-huh. Then because you know how that online school was. It was bizarre. I was like, that's terrible. I had never considered homeschool, though, because kids that were homeschooled were weird, and I didn't want my kids to be weird. That is not true, by the way.
Not you who is listening, who is homeschooling your child.
Of course.
Your child is cool. It's that the rest of them.
No, that was not a real thing that I was. Anyway, so we decided to homeschool. I was still working full time. Jose and I split it up. It was great. I loved being with my kids and being able to teach them and being home. I was getting to work from home now. It was great. So the moment that we had to go back to the office, that junk sucked.
Did you have a panic attack?
That's when the anxiety came back. I was fine during the pandemic. I wasn't that freaked out about it. But when we started to have to go back out, I was like, oh, that's when it hit me.
Did you get COVID during the pandemic?
Did
the
not.
Middle of it?
Nope.
Man, so you're like, I'm about to go to work and get it. What was the anxiety about?
Yeah, it was about everything, Richard. I think everything just hit me at once. I was just scared because now there are more shootings. There's more of everything happening. So I think I was just scared of everything and I couldn't control it because I had to go back out and work. So I sucked it up and I went to work, but then I started getting panic attacks again. And because of that, my stomach got more messed up, I think. And so I thought I was sick. I was like, okay, now what? Now what's wrong? Went back to doctors. There's nothing wrong with me. Then what happened? January of 2022.
So you're just living with this anxiety for a while then?
Yeah, I wasn't even going to therapy, I don't even think. And I was a psych major. I believed in therapy. I don't know why I didn't go. I don't have a really good reason.
Did you know I am an anxious person? Were you like owning it like, yes, this is who I am. I'm dealing with this anxiety. Or were you just dealing with anxiety and not labeling that? Just what is going on?
No, it was quiet. I think me and maybe Jose knew. Maybe if I had a girlfriend at that time, they knew. But not, I wasn't openly sharing that. People didn't need to know that.
But you were aware completely, this is my life right now.
Yeah, I was, yeah. And so I think it was years of it just building up. And then in January of 2022... my aunt got diagnosed with cancer. And I had never lost anyone close to me before. And so the idea, and it was terminal cancer. There was nothing they could do. This was January. And that was really hard. Like the anticipation of it was the worst part, right? So that's really when it got worse in January. When all that happened, we went to visit her in April. Seeing her was hard. Obviously, during the pandemic, she had moved from Jersey to Florida. And so she was a little closer. So we went to visit her. That was our first trip after COVID, I think, is to go see her. It was hard to see her sick. Anyway, my anxiety just blew up and I was still just scared of leaving the house. And now I'm scared of losing my aunt because what am I going to do? I was calling out of work a lot and I was getting sick a lot. And I finally had to ask for medical leave. I thought I was going to end up in a, what is it called? Un manicomio. Why can't I think of it in English? I don't know.
Like a mental hospital?
Yes, I really did. I was like, if they call me, and like she was in and out of the hospital. So every phone call, if I was at work, I would just rush home. Why that would help, I don't know. It's not like she's here. But I was a mess. I couldn't handle anything. Everything was very overwhelming for me. And so,
did you think it was rational, like you running home to take a phone call from your aunt? Did you think, or were you like, this is irrational, but I have to do it because this is how I can cope with it?
I wasn't thinking about what was rational. It's just what I had to do. And because work was, I had been there for so long, they're like, yeah, go, it's fine. No one questioned me about it. So I just thought it was fine. And I finally had to ask I had to go on medical leave. I was like, what are my options here? So I looked into FMLA. I talked to my doctors. I got a therapist and all that. And so I started going to therapy to figure out where all this was coming from. And obviously, it was a lot of things. So I went part-time for a couple of months during this leave. And so I was focusing on myself.
What were you finding out? Like, what were you finding out?
I was finding out many things from all these self-help books.
But what, even the therapy, like, did the therapist help?
Yeah. Yeah. I had to switch therapists once. But yes, once I found her, she was able to obviously help me through the panic attacks, mm-hmm. making sure that I could make it to work safely. And then she was basically giving me affirmations to tell myself. Mm-hmm. So it's similar to the truths we tell ourselves now, but I was learning that through therapy. What are affirmations? How are you actually feeling? You're not dying, right? You don't have COVID. You're not sick. So I was constantly repeating to myself, I'm okay right now. Nothing is wrong. So I have nothing to worry. But it was a lot of work. Mm. I was exhausted. I was in bed by 7. I had no energy for the kids. It was terrible to think about that time of my life. And August 23 of last year, so we're almost at the 1 year mark. I don't know when Jayla and Eddie's episode came out.
I think it came out in August. I think it was like around August, if I'm remembering correctly. Oh, it's going to come up on a year that it's been out. It doesn't feel like it feels like much longer than that, huh?
Yeah. Well, I listened to Eddie's podcast just out of curiosity and then I was intrigued. And then the following week, it was Jayla's. And I was like, oh, yeah, what was Jayla's perspective?
But so interested in this. Like someone had just sent it or you saw it on Facebook that mm-hmm. there was this podcast. You had never heard about it before? And you're like, and you had heard about Eddie from before or was this all news to you?
Yeah, I had heard that something had happened with Eddie, but I didn't have any information. I hadn't kept in touch with him or Jayla. Jose talked to Jayla more because they played basketball and she was always real nice. That's how it was. So I was intrigued. And then when Jayla's story came out, I was like, oh, I should hear her story. How did she feel about all this? And that's the one that really got me. I was like, oh my goodness, that is amazing that God could do that.
Okay, we want to take a quick break from the episode right now, and I want to introduce you to my friend Savannah. Savannah, how long have you been rocking with Good Gospel?
I don't know exactly, but I think like 2.5 years, I'd say.
How'd you come across it?
My friend Jay Koo.
Justin Koo?
Yes, we're friends in real life, and then he kept telling me to get on Love Reality Bible Studies, and it took me forever, and I finally did, and the first time I went through Wave 1, my life was changed.
Oh, wow. What would you say your experience with Good Gospel, how has it changed your life? In a real quick, like, you know, mid-roll, we're just talking about this real quick. I know you have a whole episode where you talk about it, but yeah, what would you say?
Probably the biggest thing is living unoffended. I didn't know that I could live not being bothered by people and like unoffended, that I can walk in forgiveness at all times, no matter how people treat me, and just seeing people rightly for who they are, no matter what they do, and knowing that everyone's made in the image of God. So,
yeah, that's a pretty powerful revelation and paradigm shift, right? That now you don't see them for the offense, you see them for who they actually are.
Yes, yes. That was what hit me on night 2, talking about forgiveness, because I was struggling with forgiveness and I was asking what I needed to do to forgive. And then they were just talking about how I already have that because I've been forgiven. Now I get to release that same forgiveness to others and change my life, man.
Amazing. So you've even gone a step further and you and your family, you guys donate to keep these podcasts going. Why is it so important to you that you guys have decided to support financially?
Well, freely we've received, so now we freely give, and we've received so much through the Holy Spirit working through Love Reality, and it means the world to my husband and I. And so it makes sense. It's a no-brainer to donate. And it's like awesome just to get to see other people's lives change through the same avenue of the podcast and the Bible studies and all of it.
Wow, praise the Lord. Yeah, and we want to encourage you, if you have that burden on your heart, if you want to see these podcast episodes keep going out and have us keep producing them, we would love if you donated to the Debt to Life podcast so that we could keep doing this thing. It does cost money, and people like Savannah, people like you can be a part of moving this thing forward. Thank you so much, Savannah. We appreciate you, not just for the donation, but you're a part of our lives. You're a part of my church. Like, we are the body of Christ, and just me seeing you, the way you live your life through trials, through whatever, it's such a huge testimony to me. So thank you so much.
Yep. Praise the Lord.
I was amazed that God could do all that. And then all of the verbiage of being free and the peace, all those things that I was looking for, right? Because I was looking for purpose during the season of my life. What's my purpose? What should I be doing? Why? Because I was on medical leave. What am I doing? And then I would go on a lot of walks, right? Because exercise is supposed to be good for you when you're dealing with mental health. So that's what I was doing. And so I had a podcast to listen to now, because I added the Death to Life podcast on my Amazon thingy.
As you should.
Yes.
Naturally.
You always say Apple stuff, but not everyone has Apple.
What do you listen to it on? Spotify?
Amazon Music.
You listen to podcasts on Amazon Music?
Yeah, I have it saved there. Because we pay for that, and so I just have it. That's all I don't have
shout
it
out to
Spotify.
Shout out to Amazon for spreading the gospel.
So I never know how to give you a rating, because you always say
just
that for
go
Apple.
To go to Apple and do it. Wait, but you don't have an Apple phone.
Correct. So give me an option, and I would rate you. Okay, that's a sidebar. But you should make that happen. Anyways, back to where were we?
So you're on walks. You're listening to the podcast with Jeff Bezos.
And so then I listened to Will's episode. That one left me thinking. And so just hearing his story of what God did, and again, the freedom. I'm like, what the heck is this freedom I wanted? I wanted peace so bad. That's all I was praying for. I was like, Lord, give me peace. Lord, give me peace. And I listened to a few of them. I went back and listened to your friends, like from the beginning. I'm sorry, I'm blanking on their
Tyler
names.
And Morgan.
Yes, that was a powerful one. And of course, I'm like talking to Jose. I'm like, these podcasts are really cool. Well, on August 23, like after I heard Jayla's, I messaged her on Instagram. And I'm sure I can go to the message, but I said something to her like, wow, you're so brave for sharing your part of the story. Thank you for doing that. Like, I want that peace that you have. I said something like that. And she said, now she says this is a miracle because she never has time, but she said, do you have time to chat? I am free later. And I said, sure. Like, I'm free at 7. Like, I was desperate. I was working part-time, right? I had time. So she's at the beach. I call her, whatever. And she says, I'm at the beach here with the kids, but I think I have time to chat. And so I'm just thinking she's checking in with me. We're just going to have a chat. I didn't know it was going to be a Bible study. And she's, are you on your phone? All right, put me on speaker and go to the Bible app and go to the ESV version and go to Romans 6. I'm like, okay. And as we're going through this, and I don't know, something is clicking about Romans 6 for me specifically. And she's asking me questions, right? Lily, what is... She let me talk first about my anxiety, about me being the one holding the financial burdens of my home, like just all these things, right? And then she tells me about Romans 6 and how I'm set free from that. And because I have been baptized, God took all those things and I don't have fear. Those are all lies. And then she prayed over me after all that. So we had a little Bible study. I don't know how long the conversation was. We had a Bible study. My mind was blown.
What was blown about? What was different?
I don't know, except that I believed it, honestly. Except that it felt personal to me. Like Jesus died for me and these sins. Something about the way she said it, it was the Holy Spirit. And then she prayed over me and about the lies, right? Mm-hmm. And then what are the lies that are? And I was like, it's fear and control. She's like, I think there's one more. And it was not feeling worthy. And because I'm such a confident person, I was very surprised by that one. But there's a difference there. That's exactly right. And so I come back inside and I didn't believe it. So I went to my study Bible and I read Romans 6 and I'm crying. And I'm like, how is this possible? This has been in my Bible this whole time. So that's all she told me. That's all she told me. And she prayed over me and she said, if you need anything, I'm here for you. You are free. And I believed it. And then I just went back to studying on my own and literally went back in and I'm crying. Jose's, what's going on? And I'm like, look at Romans 6. So I'm like trying to repeat everything that she's told me. And so because I'm like secretly a private detective, I go and I just found the waves. Mm-hmm. And so then I'm like binging on these every night. And I love watching TV. So that was my thing prior. But man, I got into all these waves. And I don't know if you've watched How I Met Your Mother, when their mind is open to a negative thing, like the chewing of the food. Do you watch?
I haven't seen that, no.
Okay, we'll stop here then. Anyway, my understanding of all the things, Adam 1 and 2, I'm like, oh my goodness, the focus has been on the law. It hasn't been on the other part of it. And just all these things, I'm like, yes, this is it. And it was biblical. And I was so happy that everything was in the Bible that I was learning. And I think Eddie called me a few times. And he told me to find a community. And I had just joined a Bible study at Southern. And he was like, that's really good, Lily. That's really good. But you need to join our community. And he had a point. And so I joined the Bible studies. And
which was the first one you joined?
Yours. On Monday night? Yeah.
That's a good first one. Shout out to the people who go to the That's Alive Bible study on Monday nights at 8 Central.
Yes, that's really good. And then this whole—
I remember seeing you on there.
Yes.
And you were shook a little bit, but you were just kind of, and I felt like, do I know this person? I thought, man, maybe I know this person, but I don't think I had. And you were just like starting to immerse yourself in it.
Yeah. I was raising my hand. And I think it's because I was searching for it. I wanted to know how this was it for me. And yeah, I appreciate everyone that asked me questions and reached out. That's an important part of this, is to have a community.
Absolutely.
So yeah, God became personal for me, and it's been beautiful ever since. You know, and I continue to grow through all these Bible studies and through my friendships at church. Having an actual community is important.
And you guys are the first people that invited me out to actually do something like in person. Got to go to your church earlier this year, and that was a huge blessing for me. Let me ask you this. How did this actually affect the anxiety that you were dealing with?
It took it completely away. It is gone. People may think it's because of therapy, but after August 23, while there are moments and feelings, which are just feelings, I ask myself a lot of questions. Why am I feeling like that? What is it? And I will get down to the bottom of it and speak truth over it. And so I'm no longer an anxious person. I haven't had a panic attack for a long time. And so it's completely healed me from that. And then I think I had compartmentalized it for a long time, that God healed me from my anxiety and that was it. But then when I allowed it to go into everything else, it's just been a learning, opportunity for loving on my family and loving on my church. Now, how does freedom look in all these different places? And because for a long time, I was just focusing on how I got healed from anxiety and my panic attacks and all that stuff, because that was the biggest thing that was happening. I didn't talk about when my aunt actually died. She died on October 1st. And I think it's just in the eyes that I'm seeing all this now. I got to spend the last week of her life with her because God gave me that ability. And it was such a blessing for me to have that with her. Mm-hmm. When if I would have been in a different state of mind, I don't think I would have seen that as a blessing. You know what I'm saying? But because I was in a different place, although it's sad, of course, to lose someone, there's been so many things that have been a blessing after that. And we have that hope that I'm going to see her again and all that. And it's not just something we say.
Right. So what was the root of your anxiety? Like before, it was fear and control and unworthiness, right?
Yes.
So how does the gospel come in and just flip that?
Oh, well, I realized that when God sent his son to die on the cross, it was for me specifically. And even before that, he created me. So I go back to that verse a lot, that he created me so unique and special. So I always thought Christianity had to be boring. So I always wanted to choose God. But I wanted to have fun. And now in this community, all the different personalities, like all these beautiful communities, we can have fun being Christians. Look how unique all of us are. And so God made me the way I am. And I am proud of that. And he's using that for his will. And so he loves me. And I think it's just that realization that I wished I would have known so much sooner, right?
So are you trying to say that perfect love casts out all fear? Is that what you're trying to say?
In so many words.
Wow. So let me ask you this. If there is someone who's listening to this, let's say a mom who's dealing with temptation to control everything, and if she doesn't have control, that panic and that fear sets in, and so losing control manifests anger and just all of these things, and that leads to anxiety, and then there's fear over her children and whatever the most darkest thing that sometimes pops in to her mind. If you could encourage her in some truth, if you could pull her aside and say, babe, listen, what would you tell her?
I would tell her that we don't have to worry because God has done so much for us. And honestly, we have the fruits of the Spirit. Mm. And parts of the fruits of the Spirit are self-control. And it's peace. We have that right now. And so speaking that truth over us, instead of thinking of all the what-ifs that could happen, that's what we have to focus on, is the truths that are in the Bible and in the Word.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so you're a blessing to us. And anxiety, that's the name of the game right now. That's what people are, I don't know if it was before COVID and no one was talking about it, but, or now that it's after COVID, people are just like, yeah, it's a real thing. It is wrecking people's lives. And what it is, it's fear, right? It's just the fear of the unknown, what's going to happen. And when the Bible says he will keep thee in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Like when we hold on to that verse where it says that we should be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Like when we take those seriously, when we feel that anxiety, and sometimes we feel it, but go to, like the songwriter says, take it to the Lord in prayer. Mm-hmm. It actually makes us and it doesn't break us.
Right.
Because we see how much he loves us.
Yep.
What about moving forward in the future? You feel like God still loves you? You feel like you're safe?
Yeah, I'm safe. I go out there and I'm not scared anymore. And yeah, I'm just walking it out with him by my side.
I love it.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for sharing your story. I appreciate you, and I appreciate just seeing you live your life boldly for truth.
Thank you for your ministry. It's been a blessing to me.
Praise the Lord. Man, I really love Lillian's story because it's real. It's not just this thing where, oh, God loves me, but it doesn't actually manifest in something. No, this has manifested in freedom from anxiety, mom guilt, panic attacks. And this is what the gospel does. If the gospel is not doing this, then we haven't really heard it. But the gospel is here to set you free. Jesus Christ is a liberator. And if you're listening to this and you're struggling with anxiety and panic attacks and you're worried, I just want to pray this for you. And just pray this in your mind and in your heart. Actually speak it out loud. Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you that fear has no power over me. Thank you that perfect love has casted out all fear. Thank you that fear is a lie. Thank you that you've poured your heart into me and that you have actually set me free. I don't know what it means right now, but I believe it. Because you're a liberator, that's what you do. And I believe it. In Jesus' name, amen.